Glad to have you here this morning. Please come in and find a seat. Let me begin this morning. I want to give you a few announcements, and then I'm kind of going to set the stage, kind of give a context for what we're doing today. But by way of announcements, well, first announcement is not on any slide. This is the last week of chapel. Did you know that? What? I know you can't cheer too hard for that, because then you're like, do I really not like to worship? Is that going to, am I going to give, you know, so anyway, but it is our last week to be together. I know the semester gets very busy toward the end, all the papers, all the assignments, and so I'm hoping that you're staying ahead of those things. So, first announcement, Counseling and Psychology Association is hosting their panel discussion this evening from 5 to 6:30 right here in Horner Hall. So come and participate in that. The date there is wrong, but it is tonight. Come down and participate. Next, pick up your Rangers tickets. If you've signed up for Rangers tickets, you need to go pick those up. If you haven't signed up, they still have some tickets. Grab a couple of extras if you think you would use them. Invite some other friends, whatever you want to do. Pick up those tickets for the game. Next, Pet Partners on campus. Yes. I mean, who doesn't like to pet puppies? What type of monster doesn't like to pet a puppy?
I agree.
I went for a run yesterday, and these puppies ran out in the road, and I had to stop running to pet puppies. So I get it. 10:30 to 12:30 in the courtyard or game room. That's next Tuesday. So courtyard and game room. There will also be snacks in the game room you can get during that time from the Student Success Office. So come and blow off some steam, pet some puppies, have a good time one with another. Next thing, pre-registration for summer and fall begins tomorrow. Tomorrow. All right, so get those classes that you need. And then lastly, open gym for the rest of the semester on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12:30 or 12:15 to 1:15, I believe is the actual time for open gym. Go in there and play some volleyball and have a good time. So what are we doing today? So today we're calling what we're doing Communications Chapel. And several weeks ago, several months ago, Dr. Jennifer Brooks came to me and said, hey, can we do something creative in a chapel service? Can we do something that's student-led? Can we kind of let them shape what they want it to be and let them have some time in chapel to do something creative? And I said, absolutely. It's helpful for me. It's helpful for you. We want that to be a part of what we're doing. So what you're going to see today, once we're done worshiping with Ryan, is going to be a student-led presentation. It's going to be different than what we normally do in chapel. And so you're only... responsibility is to sit and listen and enjoy and hear the message that they're going to give. And so be in prayer for them as they come up, because people have differing levels of comfort about coming up in front of people and doing things like this. And so be in prayer for them as they come up, that they can do what God's put on their heart to do, and it'll be a blessing to us. Okay, so that's what's going to happen after. Let me pray for us now, and then Ryan's going to lead us through two songs of worship. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day and pray that you would bless our time together in chapel. Bless the students that are going to come in a few moments and give us their presentations and all the different things they're going to do. I pray for their strength. I pray for their clarity of mind, their clarity of speech, and that they can simply come up here and do what you've put in their heart to do, and that you would glorify yourself through that. So as Ryan leads us in worship, I pray that we could, as we stand, as we sing, that we would sing our praises to you, that we would exalt Jesus in this time, and that we would see this as an opportunity to worship this morning. So, Father, this is your chapel, and we give it to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together and let's worship.
Suffering. Oh.
too much to give us lesser things. So what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in the sky? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each day long that we'd have faith to believe. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercy in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds us hard that this is not our tears. And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life rain that storms the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise?
Gay Hubbard, in More Than an Aspirin, avows that while in pain, we often see only our story.
God is not unreasonable, nor is he uncaring, but he is unwilling to abandon his great story in order to function simply as a divine footnote in our own.
Ah, God has a story. We can easily recognize history as his story when we read through the Old and New Testament or accounts of other cultures and regions of the world. But his story is definitely not what I'm thinking about in the midst of personal pain. This is, however, what Elizabeth Elliot was living when she and four other missionary wives lost their husbands to the Alca Indians in the jungles of Ecuador. She was aware there was a bigger story that she was incapable of comprehending. By faith, she trusted God's sovereignty. We may be tempted to look at someone we consider to be a spiritual giant and expect them to rationalize their pain by the good that comes from it, still focused on their story. But Elizabeth Elliot, even while thanking God for all the people he brought into the kingdom as a result of her husband's death, was not so quick to focus on her own pain and fear.
I will find no rest anywhere but in his will. And that will is infinitely immeasurable, unspeakably beyond my largest notions of what he is up to.
But a steadfast commitment to trusting God and submitting to his story is no guarantee that we will either have a life of ease or that we will always courageously walk into the next scene of his story without apprehension. E. H. Hamilton, in his poem, Afraid, provides an eternal perspective for our pain and fear. Afraid? Of what?
To feel the Spirit's glad release, to pass from pain to perfect peace, the strife and strain of life to cease.
Afraid
of that?
Afraid of what?
Afraid to see the Savior's face, to hear his welcome and to trace the glory gleam from wounds of grace?
Afraid of that?
A flash.
A crash.
A pierced heart.
Brief darkness.
Light.
Oh, heaven's art. A wound of his, a counterpart.
Afraid of that?
Afraid of what?
To enter into heaven's rest, and yet to serve the Master blessed, from service good to service best.
Afraid of that? Afraid of what? To do by death what life could not,
baptize with blood a stony plot,
till souls shall blossom from the spot. Afraid of that?
Rewards for living in surrender to a benevolent sovereign. When our hearts are tuned to his Spirit, we remember that he is the God who sees and is aware of our needs. He hears when we call. He delivers us from trouble. And even when his plan is bigger than our limited vision, allows us to comprehend, he is with us in our pain.
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil, to erase all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit.
How she sits alone. The city, once crowded with people, she who was great among the nations, has become like a widow. There is no one to comfort her. Her priest groan.
Her women grieve.
The adversaries laugh over her downfall.
There is no one to comfort her. All her people groan. They search for bread.
There is no one to comfort.
There is no one to comfort.
The young men and women have gone into captivity. The priests and elders
perished in the city while searching for food.
Outside
the sword takes the children.
Inside, there is death.
There is no one to comfort. There is no one to comfort.
There is no one to comfort.
I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of?
I can feel the black cloud descending again. I don't want to go back there.
You know, Jeremiah wasn't called the weeping prophet for nothing. Some people think he was depressed. Lamentations has a structure to it that might show how the prophet functioned under his depression.
Yeah, but I have more children now than I did last time.
How will I manage with this exhaustion, lack of concentration, and confusion?
Well, let's look at the Book of Lamentations. It's written in an acrostic. For the first two chapters, each verse begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. When Jeremiah got up each morning, he must have felt the same pain and the lack of focus you do every morning. He looked at what he had written the day before. Verse 1, Aleph. Verse 2, Bet. Verse 3, Gimel. I guess today is Daleth. It's the next letter of the alphabet. I'm sure it's going to be hard, but every morning you have to get up and do what you know is right to do. After a while, I'm not sure how long it's going to take, but eventually you will begin to feel like doing what is right to do.
I don't know what made me do it. Lamentations is not a book you would hand to someone who is in the middle of depression. But every morning I got up and I fed the baby, changed the baby, woke the boys, gave them breakfast, fed the baby, changed the baby, and read Lamentations.
The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel.
He has done violence to his temple.
The Lord has abolished appointed festivals and Sabbaths in Zion.
The Lord has rejected his altar.
Zion's gates have fallen to the ground.
Her king and leaders live among the nations.
Instruction is no more. Even her prophets receive no vision from the Lord.
The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence.
The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground.
My eyes are worn out from weeping.
Children and infants faint in the streets of the city. Their lives fade away in the arms of their mothers.
Give yourself no relief and your eyes no rest.
Pour out your heart like water before the Lord's presence.
Both young and old are lying on the ground in the streets. My young men and women have fallen by the sword.
I don't know how long it took, and I don't remember how many times I read the book, but one day, as I read, I realized that even though my body may not be functioning at peak performance, at least I wasn't watching bodies bloating in the streets outside of my home. I had a beautiful new baby in my arms and two boys somersaulting on the carpet in front of me. But coming out from underneath the black cloud didn't happen overnight. In fact, though I may not be able to relate to death and destruction everywhere, and I wasn't experiencing the loss of my worship venues and methods, I certainly could relate to how Jeremiah describes his physical anguish in chapter 3.
He has driven me away and forced me to walk in darkness instead of light. Yes, he repeatedly turns his hand against me all day long. He has worn away my flesh and skin.
He has laid siege against me, encircling me with bitterness and hardship.
He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been dead for ages.
He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down in chains.
Even when I cry out and plead for help, he rejects my prayer.
He has walled me in with cut stones. He has made my paths crooked.
My soul has been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is.
Remember my affliction. I continually remember them and have become depressed.
Then one day, unexpectedly, I woke up humming. It wasn't an out loud, boisterous, top of the lungs bellow, just a quiet, under the breath fragment of a melody. I didn't even notice at first, But when I sat down to read from my now favorite book, I realized where the fragment of melody came from.
Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Is there something different? Changed? Positive?
There is. Thank you for the encouragement to look at Lamentations.
Wait, you've actually been reading it?
Yes.
And you found it helpful?
I've lived with it for some time now. I know it isn't a customary source of healing for depression, but through Lamentations, I've learned that we can endure some significant pain and loss. And I've learned that if I keep my focus in the right place, God will give me strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow.
I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him.
It is good to wait patiently and quietly for deliverance from the Lord. Sing with us, please.
I have an opportunity to talk about depression, and it's just nice to talk about it. I'm so glad to be part of a college where I believe we talk about the most important things in life, like depression or anxiety. 5 o'clock today, we're going to talk about intimate partner violence right in this room today. I struggle with depression and anxiety, and I'm a suicide attempt survivor, and so I have a heart for those who struggle. I think it's important, in fact, it's most important that we do what we heard today, and that is to seek God, trust Him with all our heart, to gather loved ones. I loved the group participation, to gather loved ones around us, because we can't deal with issues like substance abuse, intimate partner violence, depression, anxiety alone. We were made to live out the Christian life together in fellowship. And fellowship to me is people that know the good, bad, and ugly about me. I hope you have people in your life that know the good, bad, and ugly about you. The greatest thing about the gospel to me is to know that God loves me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and nothing will change that love. And at the deepest point of depression and anxiety, the amazing thing to me that I had forgotten at the deepest point of depression and anxiety is that God was right there. He's close to the crushed in spirit. He's close to the brokenhearted. And in the darkest pit, He's closer than ever, and His love never changes. So I'm very, very thankful to be talking about depression. But there's more to depression than that, and that's what I would like to share too, because I guess the reason I researched depression and anxiety and suicide, I know if y'all are watching The Bachelor or American Idol, I'm looking up research on suicide. I know it sounds kind of twisted, but it's important for us to know that depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide and is a major contributor to the overall global burden of disease, and that two-thirds of gun-related deaths, as horrible as what we see on the news with mass shootings, two-thirds of gun-related deaths in the U.S. are suicides. And it helps to put everything into perspective. And so, why I began to research is because of, I guess, the mental health stigma, and the mental health stigma in the church, because I was told if I had more faith, trust in God and have faith, and certainly I believe that. It's the absolute key to our freedom. But there's more than that. But the message I received was, if I had more faith, I wouldn't be depressed, I wouldn't struggle. And, you know, I've cried out to God, trust me, to make me different, to make me normal. That prayer was not answered. To make me a good Christian. And I'm a born-again Christian, but I struggle. And I'll say, I don't think that I'm good. I think my righteousness comes from my faith in Christ, and I struggle. But anyway, let me get some numbers here, because I'll rattle on and on and on. But I think it's important to realize that there are a number of different contributors to depression: medical, physical contributors, mental, emotional, and relational. That's why I think it's important we're talking about intimate partner violence, because you may feel like you're trapped. I think probably the greatest contributors to depression, anxiety, suicide is the feeling of being trapped, and that the pain is not going to come to an end, and I have absolutely no alternatives. And I think we can believe those lies, and I think that's what pushes us closer and closer to that point of desperation. but there are options. And I'm just so thankful. You can talk to me anytime. My door's open. Keep my door open. Give my cell phone out. You can talk with Dr. Campbell. I'm so thankful to walk alongside with Dr. Campbell and pray through whatever difficult circumstances that we're a part of, to pray through that and work together and to see Daisy come alongside, because it just may be good for you to talk to a female, but someone who's in administration, who is, you know, a woman of power. That's Daisy, right? And then Amy Carter and a number of us who would be happy for you just to reach out. Let us know what's going on, and we will pray, and we will gather all of the forces and resources that we have to come alongside and walk alongside as well. Also, to me, the most difficult step is reaching out for help. That's the most difficult step. I think those of us who struggle, we learn to suffer in silence because of the shame or the stigma. And so I say, well, I'm not going to be silent. So hopefully that'll free you up to also step out and say, I also struggle and I need some help. And, you know, this time of the semester, it's tough. I don't know about you, but I ask my students, and I'll be asking my students today, are y'all tired? Are y'all super tired? And usually everyone is super tired and worn out. But then you have your research paper, if you're in my class, your final exam, and we're all praying to finish well in the semester. And it's a difficult time in the semester, I think. But the most important thing, I think, is to reach out. Another couple of things, just reach out to a good friend, your number one supporter. Let them know that you're suffering, or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. Another couple of great things that are completely confidential, and that is when you call, you will actually talk to a person 24/7, and that is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that number is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. Have that number readily available. And then Hope for the Heart also. I'm serve as the Hope for the Heart chair of biblical counseling. And they also have a number that you can call and talk to a person about any kind of struggle that you're having. And that is 1-800-488-HOPE. 1-800-488-HOPE. And that's 4673. 1-800-488-4673. I usually try after chapel just to hang around. And if anyone needs to talk, happy to talk to you. And once again, I just say thanks for doing such an amazing and beautiful job to talk about a really difficult topic. And so I'm going to turn it over then to Dr. Campbell. And then if you would mind sharing whatever words you would have to share, and then dismiss us in prayer. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Okay, so thank you, Dr. Hunter. And for those that participated and brought the message and got us to reflect, let's give them a hand as well, once again. I know the students involved, and I know there are varying levels of confidence to get up and do that, but everybody got up and did a fantastic job, so thank you guys. I don't have anything to add to what Dr. Hunter said. He is our expert and authority on things like that. I could tell you anecdotal stories, but we would just be staying here for the sake of that. And if you've never heard me tell a story, get with me after chapel. I've got a million of them. I can tell you a story. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and you guys can be out a little early today. You may choose to stay. You may choose to reach out and talk to somebody. And one thing I would encourage you is that oftentimes we walk around and we say, hey, how's it going? We know people are going through things. How are you doing? And people's initial response is, I'm fine. I'm doing okay. Nobody wants to open up initially, but if you press a little harder, if you say, hey, well, I know you're going through something. Are you okay? You know, if you take the time to ask, a lot of times they'll take the time to share. So be aware of that. Be aware that everybody in their own life has struggles, and they are looking for somebody just to come up and say, hey, how are you doing? So maybe when chapel's over, you just stop and ask somebody, how are you doing? And take that time to minister to one another. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Thank you that you are present on every mountaintop. Every opportunity we have to celebrate, every opportunity we have to see things that we've desired in our life come to fruition, you are there. But you're not just on every mountaintop. You're in every valley. Every time we're walking through that long, lonesome valley, we're surrounded by darkness. We have experienced a setback. We're dealing with a struggle. We've lost a loved one. Whatever the case may be, you're there as well. Wherever we go, no matter where it is, your presence is there. So we thank you for that. Your presence is a comfort to us. And I pray, Lord, that as we deal with emotions, as we deal with issues that we face in our life, that we would lean upon you and that you would give us wisdom for what we need to do. I'm sure all of us have somebody in our lives, some friend, some family member, somebody who we wish would have reached out to us sooner. Or maybe even in our own lives, we wish we had reached out to someone sooner in certain instances. So, Lord, we just pray for that. Pray for that wisdom. Pray for that courage. And we pray that when we do reach out, that there's somebody there holding out their hand, willing to walk with us. We know that you're there. We thank you that you're there. We praise you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So as we leave here today, I pray that we would be encouraged, even if we're walking through the valley, knowing that we're not walking through that valley alone. You're right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for Dr. Hunter. Thank you for his wisdom. Thank you for this school. And I just pray that you would continue to bless in ways that only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. We're dismissed.